He was the better poet of a different America, an America which no longer exists. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was a humane poet, not original, in my opinion, like Whitman, but beautiful nonetheless. Famous on both sides of the Atlantic, in England he met Queen Victoria, and some even compared him to Tennyson. He is, I believe, not counting T.S. Eliot, the only American honored in Poets' Corner in Westminster Abbey, his bust placed next to the tomb of Chaucer. Yet he was also revered by the common man. He was able to speak to ordinary American souls full of spiritual optimism, of the naive hope that once possessed our ancestors. To read him is to read another America, an earlier America whose sins, of course, we know, but which we can nonetheless in some sense regret is gone. Once a poet of America, now he's a ghost, his words remaining like ghosts do in a certain unreality. Now please forgive me my poetic talk, but I've been thinking about this stuff lately, about poets, and especially Longfellow. He belonged to an America in which the lettered were still religious, unlike today when the literate and cultured, for the most part, just don't know what to say about God or believers. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal, he wrote. Few poets write like that today, certainly not poets acclaimed as Longfellow was, bards of America. Sail on, O ship of state, sail on, O Union strong and great, humanity with all its fears, with all the hopes of future years. We know what master laid thy keel, what workman wrought thy ribs of steel. These words at once spiritual and secular, written like a plea before the Civil War, brought Lincoln to tears. Moved that such a man could move others like that, to talk like that about both the soul and the state. But they are words that wouldn't work today, because that was a different America, a different America of different souls, or at least as Alexis de Tocqueville would have called it, an America of different manners. In 1863, Longfellow wrote a poem called Christmas Bells, rendered ever since as a carol sung by just about everyone, from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir to Elvis Presley. The best to sing it, I think, is the folk singer John Gorka, actually. It is a beautiful poem. However, there's a sadness in it just under the surface. By this time in his life, Longfellow was a widower, having lost his wife quite tragically in a fire. The immediate occasion of the poem, though, the story goes, was his son, injured severely in the Civil War, fearing a long recovery, fearing to the end of America. Written on a Christmas particularly bleak, the poem is really a prayer, hope for something, a meditation on the bells of churches ringing in darkness. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yet cannon thundered in the south, he wrote, and with the sound the carols drowned. The bells marked an absence, the memory of peace, the longing for goodwill, the loss of his wife, his son's injury, slavery, injustice, war, and America torn. It's a Christmas hymn of sadness, a poem written by a man at a loss for America. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's a sadness which speaks to me, this early American sadness, much like our own. Hate is strong, it mocks the song, peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's what I feel this Christmas, what I know others feel. An America divided, angry, sad. Strong hatred and the mockery of innocence and of peace, these too much mar our country today. Also our cities, our neighborhoods, our families. This at least isn't what's different about America. That even if we don't recognize God as much as we used to, we recognize the despair, the bowed head of the poet wondering where peace went. I do know it's Christmas, and I wish you all a happy one. But I also want to be real. I don't want our Christmas cheer, at least here, to be cheaply merely sentiment. Which means we must acknowledge, feel it even, that it's just true that in our day, hate is strong and mocks the song, peace on earth, goodwill to all. But the thing is, that's not the end of the poem. The poet's despair. And this is the point, the lesson I'm unsure we're mature enough to learn. Because it would mean hearing bells again, hearing in them the hope they speak. As Longfellow believed, as he wrote at the end of his poem, then pealed the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Bells which call for faith, which call for hope, which call for love, God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. This is the poetry of a sad man, but still who did not lose hope, who couldn't believe in final despair because of the one in whom he believed. Because he heard the bells and could think on what they mean. But again, that was a different America. And ours is a darkness sounded by fewer bells. It's Christmas, the feast of the advent of Christ. Remembering the story from the days of Caesar Augustus, of Joseph and Mary, of shepherds and angels in fields, of the child born for us. It's a feast by which we are meant to learn hope. One advent to another, we are meant to learn how to live and wait for our blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, to quote Paul. In the world and first in our hearts, what Christmas means, what it can mean, is that although we walk in darkness, still we can see light. At least such is what our old stories show and what they're meant to mean. But we must, for this to mean anything, we must want to see. We must remember that we can see. In the fields buried in darkness, even the shepherds saw, and they were probably drunk. Angels appeared even to them. This is the image which, for me, brings it all together. Glory to God in the highest, the angels sang in the darkness. It's the revelation of God repeated in all godly things, all beauty, mystical and ordinary, and in every act of hope, even the little ones. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. The poet sadly writes, "Behold, I make all things new. John in prison hears from heaven." This all is light breaking in. All of it is Christmas. But to see it, we must want it, the faith that is light. Because although dark, it is not gone, this feast and its God. Not gone because some still hope, some pray, because some of us still believe in an infant eternal God. And because no matter how we fool ourselves, we're just not all that different from the poets and mystics and shepherds of the past. Because we're here. Even the half-hearted, not just the faithful, remembering Christmas and ancient hopes that were, hoping such hope will show itself again, like bells in the darkness, like angels in the field, and like the Word of God, silent in a manger. If only we could still hear and see in this different America with our different poets. Amen.